Steve here.
And Larson.
And I'm here. I don't have anything.
No, you messed it up. We talked about this. We rehearsed it for 2 hours. What are you doing?
I know. Suffering succotash. I screwed it up.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. It's our monthly post-pay-per-view show.
Pre-Raw. We're all drunk.
Pre-Raw show.
Yeah, this
we're all hungover from the Rumble last night.
Exactly. Yeah. So the 2015 Royal Rumble, this caused quite a bit of scandal, quite a bit of controversy, and we're here to bring you our thoughts on said controversy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess let's just hop right into it. And then later on, we're going to have a book of the match on the 1997 Royal Rumble.
And we can decide which show was worse.
Was it me that suggested the 97 Rumble?
Oh, yes. It came up during the course of our conversation last time. And then I think when we were talking, we got to the topic of what to watch this month. It just seemed like a natural
thing. For some reason, I feel like
you pushed for it.
I imposed my will on that, and for that, I'm going to recuse myself this month of suggesting the next one. Whatever you two figure out is going to be next is what's going to be. Because
last time I suggested Survivor Series 98.
That was a good one. So you have a good track record. Dan, you haven't suggested jack shit.
Well, I've only been watching wrestling for a year and a half. The best I can do is WrestleMania 29. That's as far back as I go.
The whole point of this is to recommend stuff for Dan.
Yes,
to
that's correct. Absolutely. So, Larson, it's going to be back to you again this
week. Someone suggested something on Twitter in the last week or two, so I'm going to go back and see if I can find those recommendations.
Yeah, I think there was a couple good ones in there.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, let's hop into the Rumble 2015.
Yes.
Are we going to start with the kickoff show or the Ascension versus the New Age Outlaws?
I didn't watch the pre-show. I never watched the pre-show. Apparently it was
Larson,
good.
You did. Cesaro and Kid are okay.
Yeah, Cesaro and Kid are okay.
Yeah.
No, they're actually really good together. I don't know why they're with Adam Rose. That doesn't make any sense to me. But
they like to party.
When I look at Cesaro, I don't think party.
That'd be kind of a cool angle if they just took Adam Rose completely into like a drug-addled, drug-fueled raver guy, and then everybody's just completely high in ecstasy. I want to see Cesaro high on ecstasy. That's my goal.
See, I wouldn't have a problem with that, but
he's just like, touch me. Just touch me.
It was like that scene from Get Him to the Greek where Puff Daddy's rubbing the furry wall.
Exactly, yeah.
That'd be great, but I don't think that's going to happen. Mm. It's not 1999 anymore.
Yeah, they have good moves together, though. They're both very sort of my problem with Cesaro and Kid being together is that neither of them can talk worth a damn on the mic. And it's like if Cesaro's main problem is, I mean, maybe that's why they're with Adam Rose, I don't know. But if Cesaro's main problem is that he can't, quote unquote, connect with the audience via a microphone, putting him with somebody who equally cannot connect probably might be a problem.
Yeah, that's the eternal logic there. Like, this guy can't talk, this guy can't talk. What if we combine them together? We have two guys that can't talk. Oh, that didn't work.
It worked nowhere near how we thought it.
Yeah.
And then they fought the Nude Day. I want to refer to them as the Nude Day because I just want to see them.
Amazing. That is a gimmick I would watch for.
Right? That's what I'm talking about. I think number one, half the wrestlers should wrestle naked, but the New Day especially would be Big E naked would be hilarious to me. I don't know why. He's so cartoonishly like big and round and weird looking that him naked would be weird.
Yeah, my brain instantly just gave him sort of an Action Man, just smooth area.
Yeah. Oh my god, you're so right. I bet he is smooth right there. He is. And he has like that separation at the waist where he pivots.
Oh, his articulation point?
His articulation point, yeah. Yeah, Big E has like 8 points of articulation. That's it. So anyways, fuck that match.
No, it was a good match.
And then fuck these guys. The Ascension against the New Age Outlaws, who I still love. I don't care. I'll still mark out for those guys. Neither of them have aged at all. It's insane. Like, Billy Gunn still looks 20, and Road Dogg still looks 50, just like he did back in 1998. So, yeah. I don't fucking get it. Dan, what were your thoughts on this match?
This is, like, the first time I've seen the Ascension in Raw. I didn't know when they came over. So, this is, like, not Raw, but in the WWE, not NXT. So, this is the first time I've seen them come over, and they didn't really interest me very much. They didn't.
Oh,
I don't
terrible.
Know. Yeah, they didn't do anything.
That's the appropriate reaction. Yeah.
You watch NXT? Have you seen their stuff in NXT?
I don't even watch like the pay per views of NXT. I need to get around to watching the other stuff because people say it's fantastic. But I saw them in like one or two NXT matches. I've seen them in, and I was like, hey, they're pretty good. And then this, I was like, oh, Okay.
It's been a weird thing because I think they debuted probably the Raw after the last pay per view, maybe the one after that, and they're a little bit more dressed up, and their booking, their writing has been completely perplexing because I think their gimmick is kind of like just a more squirrely, heelish legend killer wannabe type thing. Like they keep on ragging on old tag teams. And then they'll fight old tag teams.
Yeah.
Like they've been booking them against like local jobbers, not like, you know, on the main roster jobbers. They've been booking them against local jobbers that look like me and Larson are in the ring.
Yeah. Are literally people they don't give introductions to.
Yeah.
They just come out. They just wander out.
Yeah, they just come out. Yeah.
And they've cut a couple promos that have just been like, you know, they're trolls. They're basically just out there to say, you know, people compare us to the Legion of Doom or Road Warriors or whatever. Well, those guys suck and we're awesome. And that's what, like, that's their thing. So they're being booked and they're being written, like, as complete scumbags. And it's just pissing everybody off because they're like, you know, these guys were cool in NXT. I honestly can't stand them. I'm a guy, I like looks. And if you look like if you're just getting up to the main roster, if you're starting your career and you already look like you're in your mid-40s, and your receding hairline looks like, you know, a substitute teacher, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't think you're going to be around very long, so I don't like these guys.
Yeah. I like that the little face paint thing they got going on. They look like some sort of human villain in Sonic the Hedgehog. That's what I got.
To me, it looks like they're at a company picnic, and somebody hired, like, a face paint artist for the kids. Because I have a couple stepkids. We went to a company picnic, for my wife, like, I don't know, a year ago or something. And some of those are really elaborate, like, way more than the Ascension have. So, I don't know. To me, when I look at the Ascension, I'm like, I'm not impressed by that. I saw a better one at the post office picnic, my friend.
Just the big triangles. You can just do that with a sponge cutting.
Anybody can do triangles. Yeah,
dunk, boom.
And then there's the New Age. I was telling Larson last night also that my mind was blown when I was watching the 97 Royal Rumble because Larson had mentioned he watched the 97 and then he went back and watched the 98.
Yeah, to see the difference between the
which
two,
was
yeah.
fascinating because it's a 180 degree difference. Like 1 year made all the difference for the WWF. But Road Dogg had short hair in the 97 one, and then in 98 he came out and he had dreads or braids rather, like really long braids, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. 15 years ago when I was watching, I had no idea his hair was fake because that was totally extensions. He has no way that was going to grow out in the span of a year. Crazy. Like, it just blew my mind.
In a year, anyways, you said, foomf, hair.
Yeah, it did. So the Ascension beat them. Okay, that's great. I don't know.
that much happened.
Yeah, exactly.
The only good thing about that, which was a very short-lived victory for me, was it wasn't the Usos starting off a pay-per-view. That felt good until the next match.
Yeah, until 5 minutes later.
The next match, which was the Usos versus Miz
in the same match that they have had for the past 3 pay-per-views.
And house shows. I saw this match.
And rules.
I saw this match. Dan, I don't know if you know this, but I was front row at a house show here in Sacramento.
I saw your photo with he yes. who should not be named. Yes.
Exactly. that's gonna be his name from now on. And they did, and it was fun. I mean, honestly, anytime, it doesn't matter, I don't care who it is. If you're front row at a wrestling match, I don't care if you hate the person, like, you know, on the TV, you're gonna love him live because it is a lot of fun and it's goofy. And Miz was cracking up every time Mizdow would do something, you know, kind of off the cuff and funny. And so it's fun when they can break character. But yeah, this match has been done over and over again. And it looks like I thought that you'd see more, a bit more dissension between The Miz and Mizdow because I really want to see them go at it for WrestleMania.
You at least hope they would tease something that would happen during the Royal Rumble, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. And the Usos retain. I don't know. I've said it a million times.
Why did they retain? Miz won it in the last one that I saw, if I'm rightly. I got so confused. I was like, how are you the champions? And then I was like, oh, yeah, there's other things apart from the pay-per-views.
That happened. Oh, you know what? That happened the night that the Ascension debuted.
Nice.
Because Miz and Mizdow lost the belts, and then Miz got pissed, wanted another match, and they put him against the Ascension, and I believe the Ascension won.
Yes. Okay.
Not mistaken. That was how they debuted. So anyways, the Usos, they retained. I don't like the Usos. I've never liked the Usos. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about them. I don't. I like Miz and Mizdow. Mizdow's pop is great. I love that.
Yep. Even though he's not getting tagged, which doesn't make sense. Every other part, it's always Miz going, "No, you do the work for me, Mizdow." And in when it's actually the match, he's like, "No, I'm going to wrestle this 2-on-1. Fuck you."
They definitely seem to lack a coherent game plan.
Yeah,
because I'm not entirely sure. Like on one hand, it seems like Miz is literally just going through handicap matches. Because Mizdow seems more interested in being his stunt double, which is what I think Miz wants. And yet they're a tag team. So to me, this is just sort of, Miz is just sort of in handicap matches, and then Mizdow comes in every once in a while.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like, it's not a great game plan, though. So I don't know.
Yeah. They need it's not a good plan for long-term success.
It is not, which I don't think they're going to have. and then, so, you know, the Usos, again, they come out to their war cry. They're offbeat. I don't like it to their music.
It's supposed to be intimidating. It's not supposed to make
you
dance.
At all.
How is it intimidating if you've fought these guys 97 times in the past month?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
I can't answer that question. I don't know.
I know. They should just be like, okay, skip your little war dance. And also, hold on a second. The Usos... No, they came out. They're the champions, so they come out second, I guess. But when the Usos come out first, why would they care about doing their little dance? Because there's nobody in the ring to intimidate.
Intimidating,
perhaps.
Well, it's because there's monitors in the gorilla position backstage, so their opponents can see them.
So they know their opponents are watching.
Yeah.
Their opponent's strategy should simply be look away, and you won't be intimidated.
Exactly.
We push get that. Mute. Just mute on the TV. Push mute.
Yeah. Exactly. Then after that crap match, we had one of my highlights of the nights, which is the Bella Twins. I'm now a huge Bella Twin fans. I know.
It's because you started watching Total Divas.
No. I haven't really gotten into that yet. I need to figure. I thought that they were going to have like rebroadcasts on Hulu or something, but I can't find like current episodes. All I care about is a season 2 episode. I tried watching a season 1 episode. I can't.
Have you tried on demand on your on DirecTV?
Oh, DirecTV's terrible on demand, dude. I don't even know how to find on demand. And I spent a good half hour one day looking for it. I'm like, I don't know where the fuck it is. DirecTV's terrible. It's cheap and I get the channels that I need and that's it. But Comcast is expensive and they have a lot of really cool features, but I just don't care about TV that much.
Yeah.
I do like the Bella Twins, though. I don't know why I like them now and I didn't like them before. Maybe it's their dressing different, showing more skin. I don't know why. I don't know why. But Paige came out, and that's all I cared about because I love Paige.
I'm starting to think you don't like these matches for the wrestling.
That's very secondary. The wrestling, it's like there's so many other factors that goes into why I like wrestling. And then, like, 10th is wrestling.
Yeah, it's that really weird thing about wrestling is that when the Divas come out, I sort of just zone out. I'm like, just bring back on the half naked sweaty men. That's what I want to see.
It's a weird thing. It's like the opposite of what it should be.
Yeah, no one cares about the Divas. It's like it's a room full of young men and some half naked women come on and wrestle. And you're like, and then giant men come on. And you're like, ooh.
Oh yeah. It's
very strange.
You know what's funny, though? I hate saying this because I would never say this if I was in a room with these people. But when the Divas, the house show I went to, Dan, was the B Team. And Hilton sold me the ticket, and then I looked up the roster, and I was like, oh, man. Rollins, Ambrose, Cena, Paige are all in Alabama doing the A show. And I get the B Team show with Miz, Mizdow, the Usos. The main event was Rusev versus Reigns, Big Show, Kane. None of the people that I really give a damn about.
Yep.
But it was still fun. But when a six woman Divas match, and it was Summer Rae, Emma, Sasha Banks from NXT, Alicia Fox, and somebody else. I forget. Oh, Cameron and Naomi. And it didn't come off really well live either. They felt like strippers. And they didn't wrestle very good either. Especially Sasha Banks really looks like a stripper, like a really nasty stripper. I shouldn't say that. I feel awful. And if she was right next to me, I probably wouldn't say that. Probably. But Divas matches live. Maybe it was just because I got the B Team. I don't know. But they all came off as kind of strippery, and I felt kind of dirty watching it. I felt dirty and ripped off because I thought I should have seen more nipple.
Well, it was like you thought, based on appearances, they should be strippers. So your expectations were raised to that level then.
Exactly. You're right. And I'm like, look, it's impressive that you can do, you know, a bulldog, but I really want to see a nipple. maybe I don't.
Or wrestling. Oh, it's because they're in the no man's zone between stripping and wrestling. That's the thing. They're right in the middle. Like, either way you go, we'll be fine with it. But just go one of those directions, because at the moment, it's just not doing anything for anyone.
Yeah, if I had Paige and Natalya, who are decent wrestlers, I'd be like, well, you know, Paige, I got a big crush on. But it's like, if I had, like, or AJ Lee, like, capable female wrestlers, I'd be like, okay, wow, look at their wrestling. But with these girls, it's like, I get the worst wrestlers and the gnarliest looking ones. So, like, it was a no-win situation for me. I just sat there and threw popcorn at them.
Boo!
Boo! That's what I did. So, anyways, and then, so the Bella Twins, I guess, won. I don't.
I just put it was a dull ending. It just sort of ended. It was like
non-consequential. It was sort of a night of dull endings, with the exception of the main event, which was fucking awesome. It rocked. It killed the. It was amazing. Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Seth Rollins. I loved this match. I was marking out big time.
One of the best I have ever seen, if not the best match I've ever seen in all of wrestling ever.
I would say definitely top five in the past 5 years. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It was fantastic. Throwing Seth Rollins in the mix was a brilliant idea. This is one reason. If I guarantee you, because sometimes, and Larson and I, we've noticed there hasn't really been a lot of consistency here, but the main event will go on after the Rumble. Or sometimes, like in this year, the Rumble will go in as the main event. Well, this year, if they had done this match as the main event,
it would have come across so much better.
Nobody would be talking about cancel WWE right now. Nobody would.
Nope.
So, Dan, what are your notes say for this match?
Oh, lots of things in capital letters. Like, it's just capital letters here.
Yeah.
Like, because I was thinking about this, because I thought this would be quite a slow match. Because Lesnar does need to take quite a lot of time, so I thought it would be quite slow. But it never let up. Like, triple threat matches tend to be, there's two people in the ring, and then there's one who's dead outside. But this one, for like the first two-thirds of it, was everybody just bundling in, and then someone goes out for 5 seconds, bundle, back in, someone else is out. It was freaking fast. It didn't stop. It didn't slow down, it didn't stop, and then Lesnar was killed. After three AAs, like, he got straight up after the AA.
He got straight up after two AAs.
Yeah.
No sold him. Yeah, great.
Because normally I'd be like, oh, fuck's sake. But he got up like he wasn't there, but he was getting up because he's Brock Lesnar and that's his thing. Then he gets curb stomped, and then he gets his ribs destroyed. And, that was the one downside. Because that, for me, was the Rumble giveaway. When they went, broken a rib. And I was like, wonder what special move that would fuck up. Oh, a spear. Yeah, that would hurt a broken rib. Yeah. I can see that forming as a storyline later. But no, I think it was... Yeah, as soon as there's an injury, I'm like, who does that move? It's like, you're going against an arm specialist. Oh, my arm fell off. Well, you're in trouble now.
Seth Rollins, on that spot, he got so much fucking air.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He just leapt, and he did not come down for like a good 5 minutes. That was insane.
He's playing with moon gravity on. That's his problem. They all were allowed one cheat. So Lesnar just had immortality. Cena had infinite finishes. And Rollins just had low gravity cheat. And that was that. That's what I'm doing.
Exactly.
I've just realized that my three favorite matches I have seen all involve Brock Lesnar. And two of them involve John Cena. Because my favorite matches so far, like my top three, when I was like, well, it was this one. And then it was Lesnar versus Cena at SummerSlam when Lesnar ate Cena. And Lesnar versus Undertaker, which isn't a great match, but that ending is still one of my favorite moments in the history of anything.
That's a good three right there.
Whole arena die on the inside. It was beautiful.
Yes.
Unstoppable moment. Rollins proved he is main event.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
If there was any doubt after some of the stuff he's done, he just kind of went, look, I'm supposed to be up here, and this is how I show it. What was that flippy shit that he did? I can't remember what it was called.
He used to do the Phoenix. Yeah, I think it was the Phoenix or the Phoenix Rising, something like that. Yeah, I think he used to probably do that in the indie territories or NXT or something. And obviously, it's kind of a high-risk move, so he's not going to pull it out. He's going to pull it out for matches like this. Just insane. The elbow is insane. Rollins is going to be that guy, hopefully starting tonight. I mean, we've been marking out for him for a while. But he's going to be one of those guys, no matter how hard he tries to be a heel, people are going to
get face heat.
People are going to cheer this. And that's the best... That's the Stone Cold
yeah, heel, that's just what I was gonna
or
say.
A face right there is
that's
like,
what I was gonna say.
If you can't help because of what you do, if you can't help but be a face, that's the best, most yeah. over face. That's the exact yeah. opposite of Roman Reigns.
Yes,
because Reigns and Rollins are the two extremes. Rollins are doing it right mm-hmm. in terms of how they're building him. And Reigns are just like, all right, this is our guy. Take it.
Yeah.
Take it.
And with Rollins, it's like they don't. I mean, Rollins, you know, they're injecting him into the main event scene. That's great yeah. and everything. And they want Reigns to be sort of what the title holder looks like, I guess, is all
yeah.
I can guess.
Yeah.
But Rollins is exactly doing it the correct way. Like,
mm-hmm.
and honestly, like, you have to give credit. It's a combination of good booking and good writing and Seth Rollins completely just running with the ball as fast as anybody possibly
yeah.
can.
Yeah.
And that's when wrestling is sort of done right. That's when you buy in, is when you have all those things together and it really works. And with Reigns, you know, they're booking him to be strong. The writing is shit and his skills kind of across the board, to be honest. I mean, yeah, he's got a good look, but he's not a terribly good wrestler.
No.
And his promos are fucking horrible. Or, like, it's just getting worse.
They are
the post show one last night was.
Dan, did you watch the post show?
I did, like, yes. Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Do you have any notes on Rock and Reigns?
Because Rock was entirely damage control. The only reason.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
which I
when
think,
he
which
was
I
being
was
booed.
It was, yeah.
They're writing this so badly that The Rock got booed.
Yeah.
And to the look on The Rock's face if he's holding up like, yeah, I haven't watched Raw in a while. Why are they all booing you? It was just that sort of... I've been doing Hollywood things. What the fuck, man? What's going on?
Like, I leave you for a couple minutes and then this is what happens? Like,
yeah,
you have people hating you?
Yeah, Roman looks like the part, but when he talks, it's like, yeah, stop talking. Just
yeah.
go more Brock Lesnar's that just say occasionally the word destroy and that's it.
I was trying to figure out, because Roman, he seems... And I forget who told me this, but he seems like a decent guy. He seems like a nice guy. He might be like
yeah.
a good guy. I'm not going to talk shit about the guy. He got in a picture with me when I was trying to boo him. I took that picture. I was literally – like there's a picture prior to the one that I posted heavily where my mouth is in boo position and Reigns is kind of getting into the shot. And then he totally gets in the shot. I realize it and give this smile on my face like, ah. And so I'm sure he's a nice guy, and you know, if I was in front of him, I'd be like, hey, you know, you're cool. But I'm trying to figure out, like, looking at that interview afterwards, it's a combination of awkward and dorky
mm-hmm.
yeah.
on a guy who looks really cool, like he should be a totally confident guy, but it's obvious that he's not cool. He's in kind of over his head,
yeah.
and that just kills any confidence I have in him.
Yeah.
As somebody who can carry the WWE title.
You notice, it seems like to me is you know, like when there's a couple kids and they got a problem,
mm-hmm.
like they don't get along,
mm-hmm.
and then someone goes and tells their dad, and the dad goes and confronts the kid.
Yeah.
The Rock is that dad.
Yeah, he is.
He's doing all the talking for his kid.
And Reigns, like his dorky awkwardness rubbed off on The Rock.
I know. Well, I just thought it was weird that, you know, you're trying to make Reigns be this badass guy, and they ask him a question. Well, what do you think of your match with Lesnar at WrestleMania? And I think his first thing he says, like, my thoughts, I gotta go to the trainer's room. I'm all bloody. You, like, busted your lip open a little bit, man.
It's like, guys, I'm bleeding. I can't be dealing with this right now.
My whip hurts.
Yeah, he should be James Bond. He should be like
yes!
Daniel Craig's James Bond, jumping off of a train, explodes behind him, and he just strains his tie and walks off. He's more like Johnny English. At this moment,
Roman Reigns is the Mr. Bean of the WWE.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh.
But it is like he does it like he used like, the promo, which because someone went, you've just got to watch these two promos of Rome. It was Rollins beating the hostage with Edge,
which was
constantly
great.
Calling Cena John was one of the best masterstrokes
yeah.
of writing I've ever seen.
Because yeah.
you're like, I think the guy snapped and he's about to kill Edge, but I'm gonna keep watching. But because he had when he went, oh, you should know by now, I'm going to kill him anyway. My heart went, here you go, you can have this.
I know, that was so great. You should know
yep.
me by now, I'm going to kill him. And he says, kill him.
Yeah.
He's literally about to snuff the guy out.
In front of like 40,000 people.
In front of everybody, and his poor Edge with his crappy neck.
after saying that he's got a family and shit. Jesus, yeah. He's the darkest guy there. And he's just going, yeah, I'm gonna kill him. And then Roman, on the other hand, is just going, Reference Secretash, and then winking at the camera.
Oh, like, God.
Oh, please, no.
Why? Oh, why? I know. Oh, man. No,
they're
right. That was a
worlds
moment.
Apart. They're, it's so weird that they're on the same show.
I know.
One feels like a parody of wrestling. Roman Reigns is a parody of crap wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what his promos feel like. And Seth Rollins is the Joker from the Batman films.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Knight runs. That's just how I get to see him. And that's why when Rollins is doing stuff, I'm like, I like you. I like you a lot. And that's why he gets the cheers. And 20 minutes of booing is reserved for Roman.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, this is the interesting thing, though, because obviously Philly is a wrestling mark town. Like,
yeah, they're
all smart up on the wrestling. And that was,
I'll interject this real fast. Philly has a history of being hard to please in terms of sports overall. This
yeah,
is a city
picky, yeah.
that once threw batteries at Santa. So this is the town. I mean, they're a tough town to please.
Yeah.
Carry on. That's all I want to say.
But, and so that was kind of a unique situation. I do honestly think, and granted, our reaction would be the exact same. However, if they were in virtually any other town, because when I was at the house show when Roman Reigns came in, granted, I'm in, you know, we're in Sacramento here, so we're not exactly, you know, we're easy to please. We're happy
to have an event.
We're happy to have a basketball team. Nobody really cares that they suck. We're like, hey, look, they didn't move to Seattle last year. We're very happy about that. We're good. So we're easy to please, but we're kind of par for the course. Like, we're kind of a normal town
yeah.
or a normal city. And so when Reigns came out at the house show, he got a good pop. I was the only person pretty much booing the guy.
Yeah.
And so he got a good pop. He'd get a good pop pretty much anywhere except for a town like Philly or a town like Chicago.
Or
Chicago
New York.
Chicago would boo him. New York would even New York, I'm not even sure about. It depends on where they are, I think, probably. In a smaller venue, he'd be booed. But anywhere else. And so it was kind of a unique situation. But it makes me wonder if the high profile match, the high profile Royal Rumble, might open up other towns, other people who have watched this and now are understanding that, oh my God, it's okay to boo this guy. I kind of thought he might have sucked, but it's okay to boo him. It makes me wonder if it's just going to get perpetually worse and worse leading up to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And
it's going to get worse because what's Roman's weakness on the mic? Who's he up against? Lesnar. Who's Lesnar's mic guy?
Yeah.
Paul Heyman versus Roman Reigns on the mic.
But Heyman's a smart guy, so it makes me wonder if he's going to suggest, hey, you know, I don't know what the solution would be.
Could you do a kidnap situation on me for two months?
Or
fake Heyman, a kidnapping for 2 months.
If Heyman would suggest something, again, I don't know what the solution would be, but if Heyman's smart enough to say, look, if you get me on the mic against this guy, I am going to bury him, so that's probably a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Let's come up with some solution to this problem, because you're right. It is going to be a huge problem. I mean, it is. It's only going to get worse. I think it is, and being up against Heyman is not going to help.
No. Yep. No. Also, his little catchphrase of believe that. Like, this is me being a writer and hating this little bit of writing, but the last thing you used to say was believe in the Shield, and that was a waste of time, so why do we believe in all the things you're saying now?
Yeah.
There's little things like that. Like, there's a lot of just missed detail on him, and he needs a lot of... I mean, I'm not saying he's awful, but he's just not up there with, like, Rollins. That's Rollins.
Yeah, no, my thing is that it's just he's simply, like, you can always tell if a guy is ready or not. And Roman Reigns, he has a fantastic look. I think that if he was built properly, he could have been a massively over face. He could have been huge if he was built properly.
If they'd have him... And like Rusev at WrestleMania,
maybe
or him at Triple H.
Versus Rusev at WrestleMania,
or him
at
versus Triple H.
Yeah,
have him go over, use that as a springboard. Have that be like his Stone. Like we were talking the other day, Steve, about like Royal Rumble '97 when Stone Cold comes out and the crowd is dead, no cheer whatsoever. And you go a year later, the place blows up when he comes out.
Yeah, right.
And what happened is at the WrestleMania in between those two events, he had that match with Bret Hart where he bled and passed out, and that's the. That was like, it was his face turn, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's when
he
started getting over the crowd. Roman Reigns has never had that moment.
Right.
Period.
Exactly.
He's never had a moment where the crowd can see him as like, all right, I like this guy for whatever reason. Whether he you know would rather pass out than tap out mm-hmm. to the sharpshooter or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's never had that moment yet.
You're right.
Where the crowd goes, wow, and those this guy's awesome.
And those are by and large, I mean, they're well booked moments.
Yeah.
But they're not forced. They're not forced on you. They're just well done.
Yeah,
and it's like when you have the pro, when you're a writing staff who has the pressure, and I'm just speculating. It's easy to say, oh, writing staff, but when you're a writing staff who has, you know, evidently the situation is you have Triple H on one side, you have Vince McMahon on the other side. The writing staff is sort of caught in between, trying to figure out what the hell to do. It's like that's not going to be an easy situation where he has Seth Rollins, who's booked and written well, but they're not, you know, they're not trying to rush him to the title. You know, they're not trying to rush him to a specific spot. They're just writing for him, and then he kills it.
Yeah.
And he's now he is where he is.
How many pay-per-views has he done in a how many in like the last year pay-per-views has he been as a singles competitor, Roman Reigns?
Reigns?
Yeah.
Reigns has had one pay-per-view match, solo pay-per-view match against Orton at was it SummerSlam?
Are you serious? There's only
He's had one. He's had one singles pay-per-view match.
Yeah, cuz I was trying to think when's he gonna.
And that match was awful.
Well, he's like from a wrestling perspective as well. We've not seen him as a singles competitor. So if he does end up going against Lesnar and beating Lesnar, what the fuck are we supposed to believe at that point?
Yeah.
Because the thing that wrestling seems to have lacked that I've noticed from the past was consistency. And now with Lesnar, they've sort of got it. The consistency is Lesnar is unbeatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As he just proved by taking about 50 finishes and a kill. He was killed. He was killed 3 times. And he got up and won. So Lesnar is an immortal god. If Roman Reigns, who's had one pay-per-view match in a singles competitor, wins it, then, like, that makes him, like, more of a god than Lesnar. That puts him... But that doesn't make sense, because I've never seen him do anything.
And that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, you're right. The believability sucks. There's nothing there, because, you know, as somebody rightly pointed out, it's plainly obvious... He needed The Rock to help him. And you know, the really shitty thing is that at the house show, granted, I booed it, but it was a markout moment for everybody else. But at the house show, it was the same kind of finish. It was Reigns versus Rusev, and then Big Show and Kane come out to help out. And because I think he beat Rusev by DQ because they weren't going to have Rusev lose. Mm-hmm. So Rusev, like, leaves or whatever. Big Show and Kane come out. They start to take out Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns delivers in a pretty quick, cool reversal move type thing. He gave him like a double spear, like one on each shoulder. And it was kind of okay. And everybody marked out. And that would have been okay. Last night, if you remember at the Rumble, I know we haven't got to the Rumble, but we're kind of talking about it anyway.
Yeah.
He sort of ploddingly, you know, move them over the top of the ring, you know, and then
over the top rope. Yeah.
And then they just sort of ploddingly get back in and start tearing him apart. And instead of letting him have his solo moment where he double spears him and they, you know, 10,000 people in Sacramento got that moment, but everybody was watching last night, what happens? The Rock comes out and he has to help him against Big Show and Kane, two guys who've been, you know, who are like 100 years old combined. And, and so it's like, he's not believable as a monster. Lesnar could take out Big Show and Kane by himself.
Yeah.
And if Reigns can't, how are we to believe that Reigns is going to beat Lesnar?
Yep.
Because he has a broken rib. Didn't stop him from getting F5 to Rollins last night.
Because the main event was before the Rumble, I thought Lesnar was going to enter the Rumble and win that as well. But then Fastlane could have been Lesnar hosting a tournament to see who gets to battle. But someone on Reddit suggests this, that he sits in a gold throne like Shao Kahn, and they have to walk past him. And it's just there. That would have been the best thing.
I know. That'd have been fantastic. That's what I need more of.
Yeah. Oh, the other one I saw that was the other suggestion that I made was that Cena wins the first match, the World Heavyweight Championship match, and then in the Rumble, The Rock comes out, and then we have Cena Rock 3 times in a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, Larson was convinced that The Rock was going to win the Rumble last night because of all
the hoopla about him being there. Yeah,
because I didn't hear it, which is good. It was a nice surprise for him to come out.
Yeah, I saw one picture, and then Larson was talking about, people are saying he might be, you know, in the match.
In the Rumble. Well, what I was thinking is, if they want to make WrestleMania an event, have Rock Lesnar for the belt at WrestleMania. I know it's part-timers, whatever. Rock goes over. Next day on Raw, you orchestrate a match between Rock and Reigns, have Reigns go over and get the belt on Raw the next day. So you still have a WrestleMania main event that people are going to be into, because if you just have Rock win No one's gonna boo The Rock winning, mm-hmm. at least not in mass amounts of people.
Oh no, if he won the Rumble last night, and if you have The Rock in like what'd be a 2 month program, no, people will be behind it all.
Yeah, 100%. And that match, you know, people will be into that match.
Yeah.
Next day, you know, whatever, you can orchestrate something where, you know, they can say, well, we're family, blah blah blah. They can still bring all that up. Have the face versus face match. Have Reigns go over. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that scenario.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Instead, Rock, I mean, Rock's shirt was really cool.
Yeah, the Rock shirt was great.
Rock had a really cool shirt last night.
That was
so
the
we
best
got
bit
that.
Of the Rumble.
It really was. So let's go over the Rumble. I mean, we've talked about it quite a bit. But
It started pretty well.
It had it was a Rumble of two halves. The first half was a really, really fun mix of nostalgia, mark out. You know, all that kind of good little
bits of storytelling. Yeah.
Mini stories is always the fun bit of the Rumble. You had The Miz and R-Truth started. I'm just looking at the order here. The Miz and R-Truth started out, and then
Bubba Ray Dudley. I wrote this thing down. Damn it! In my notes, I wrote the whole thing down.
Well, let's go through them. let's hit us with your notes.
Yeah, so it was the Miz and R-Truth started out. Then Bubba Ray Dudley came in and did the 3D with R-Truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was brilliant. The crowd were coming off of that massive match. The crowd were amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
They loved it. Then Luke Harper turned up. Miz got eliminated at some point there. R-Truth got eliminated. Then Bray. Then it was Bray who came at number five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Actually, whenever there's a Royal Rumble and the countdown turns up, the crowd always speed up near the end. Like, just is the countdown slowing down near the end? Every single Rumble is always like 5, 4, 3, 2, but the number's like 5, 4, 3. They start at 10, but they lose it by 5. I don't know why.
They're, by the end, they're about a half a count ahead. Yeah,
yeah. It's the weirdest thing. It must be the echo. I have no idea. We Want D-Von chant, which I thought was entertaining in a 2015 Royal Rumble.
Absolutely, man. I was hoping for him too. I thought sure he was going to come out. Yeah,
and but then Bubba was eliminated.
Yeah, and then he was eliminated. Exactly.
Yes. Then Curtis Axel, who's still in the Rumble and technically the winner.
Technically, he's still there, and exactly.
Yeah, which is because I said in 1997 that the snake, Jake the Snake, he brought in a snake, and the snake never went over the top rope. So just saying. I hope Roman left by the top rope, because then technically Curtis Axel is the winner.
Exactly,
and then Eric Rowan hit him, and then there was a fight against... It was Harper and Bray against Eric Warren, because he's the face one, isn't he?
He's the face,
He's the face one, so they're going, we're not the face ones. And then, this is one where you're going to have to explain to me, the Boogeyman!
Larson, were you even around for the Boogeyman?
Not extensively, but I remember him. That's the guy who used to eat. He used to eat earthworms.
It was mid-aughts, sort of the. Yeah, he had a great look. I mean, he's very elaborate.
Oh, he looked really cool. Yeah,
he looked really cool. He never went anywhere because you can't. You know, I mean, the bottom line is people connect with real characters, not cartoons. You know. Yeah. And he's obviously a cartoon, but he looked cool.
I'd say that the Undertaker was pretty much a cartoon. Still is kind of a. I mean, he does do the talking and stuff, but he does have very much the... He's the dead man. He's got the presence.
And he's supposed to have, you know, like, sinister dark powers, too, you know?
Larson,
what?
Agree or disagree? Because I'm not even sure on this one.
What?
Undertaker was most over in his American Badass persona.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I seem to remember him getting a lot of big pops.
He's gotten a big pop since 92.
Yeah, what is the difference then? Why is... Because you're right. Undertaker's a cartoon. But I still maintain the cartoon. But he's not a cartoony cartoon. I don't know. What's the difference
between the Boogeyman? He's not as cartoonish as he was when he first came out.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But
come out and talk like a human. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the Boogeyman ever did that. He didn't look like...
I don't think the Boogeyman talked. The Boogeyman ever actually talked.
He doesn't seem like the person who would turn up at a contract signing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this, Steve. If Undertaker's American Badass persona was his most popular, they would have run with it a lot longer.
And I'm not saying that it is by any measure. Because I think Undertaker's had various stages in his career.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, obviously this later one, I'd say like, you know, sort of Shawn Michaels and from his first Shawn Michaels WrestleMania match to present. Is sort of his, you know, late career That's I'd say he's probably Mostert because he's, you know, he's the once a year. He's sort of the big event.
He's the institution.
He is the institution at this point. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the differences. You're right, though. The Undertaker is a cartoon, but the Boogeyman, he was like a super cartoon. And he didn't have longevity.
Well, the problem is that the Undertaker is an established cartoon. Whereas there you go. Boogeyman, they bring him in the early aughts when that kind of period of wrestling had passed.
There
and
you
try
go.
To establish a guy who is more cartoony now doesn't work.
I like this. I like this period of the Rumble though because Bray Wyatt was getting a lot of respect, and they were doing his. He had his own Stone Cold moment where Larson joked he was like, "Now he needs to sit up there on the corner turnbuckle and look at his watch." And
well, he did do that. I missed it during the match when we were watching it. But I went back after you went home and watched the Rumble again. And he did have a moment where he was leaning over the ropes and was looking at his wrist like, come on, wait, bring another guy out.
There you go.
So he did do a watch gimmick.
He should have started doing push-ups like Stone Cold did.
I know.
That's like how when I'm playing Royal Rumble on WWE 2K15, it's like, it's always somebody comes in, you throw them out. Somebody else comes in, you just throw them out. They played that for a little while.
Yeah, I like that about. I'm glad they respected Wyatt that way. I thought that was really cool. I like that he was, because he's kind of a weird guy to do that with. Like, he's, you don't know where his character's head is. So the fact that he was aware of the rules of the Royal Rumble was cool to me.
Yeah.
And then the thing that I liked about it, though, you know, Boogeyman comes out, he disposes of Boogeyman. Sin Cara comes out, he disposes of Boogeyman. Yeah. And then that was the moment where he's like, okay, come on. And you think it's going to be somebody huge. Then he's going to be. Well,
that's what I said. I was like,
they're
going to bring out somebody big. Yeah.
It's going to be a huge. You said that literally like at 2 seconds. This is going to be a big name. Oh, radio. Oh, I fucking hate Zack Ryder.
Woo.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't even. Yeah, it starts off with woo woo. Oh, I hate him so much. I can't stand Zach. I fucking hate him so much.
Well, I was reading somewhere online this morning that maybe he mistimed his call out because after Ryder was Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That came out. And someone was saying, well, maybe there was a flub there in the timing and that he was supposed to wait till after Zack Ryder to hop on the mic and call people out. So that Daniel Bryan would come out.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. He forgot about Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
He was probably like, I like to see his face when he saw Zack Ryder. He's like, oh, fuck. That's hilarious. That's probably correct. Because Zack Ryder comes out and gets killed. And then Daniel Bryan comes out.
Yes, the crowd went apeshit for him. Which
ape
is good,
shit.
Yeah.
He only had one elimination, though.
Yeah. Once he was eliminated, that was a turning point in the Rumble in total. Because it's like the second half of the Rumble is they just dumped all the mid-carders.
Yeah.
There's except for Ambrose and Ziggler.
Yeah.
They just dumped all the mid-carders. Well, I guess they're mid-carders.
How did Titus O'Neil go in at 26?
I don't know.
God.
Sting.
How was Titus? And this is the thing. Me and Larson were both big fans of Titus O'Neil. I think
he's great.
If booked right and they took advantage, and granted, he is old, but if booked right and taken advantage of his natural guy, the guy's got natural charisma and he is legitimately a funny, sharp, witty guy. If taken advantage of, he could be great. But at this point, he's not. At this point, he's written terribly. He's written as a joke. And don't put him in at number 26 when every single entry matters.
Yeah.
Especially, I thought Randy Orton would turn up. I was surprised
he
was away at the moment.
Yeah. We thought at number 30, we thought it was anything to be Orton or we didn't even think it was going to be Ziggler. No, we forgot about Ziggler. We thought it was going to be Orton or The Rock.
Because
at that point, we still thought The Rock might be in.
Yeah.
And then, Ziggler's been off TV for a little while, so he sort of forgot about him. But early on, some of the other highlights I thought was Stardust and Goldust sort of getting it on a little bit.
Yeah.
Miz
DDP
and Mizdow.
I enjoyed DDP.
I was about to get
DDP
to DDP because DDP started doling out diamond cutters like they were for free, like they were nothing. That was great. We were both marking out big time for that. and then we did get the tease for Mizdow.
Yes.
Mizdow had that great moment where, you know, Miz comes out, stops him, says, no, this is mine. And then Miz gets, I'm not going to say eliminated. He just got punched off the rope or whatever, the apron. And then Mizdow had the choice to make. Do I be the stunt double or do I go in and seize the moment? And he went into the biggest fucking, one of the biggest pops of the night. And he starts cleaning the house and then he got eliminated.
Yeah. And then all for naught.
And then they start yelling at each other. He's mimicking Miz yelling at him. And you could tell for a split second, then the camera cut, but it looked like Mizdow was starting to laugh.
Yeah.
And then the camera cut away. But I hope they do, because if they do that at WrestleMania, that's going to be the biggest pop of the mid card.
The Miz card.
When Sandow wins, he just becomes the Miz card.
Yeah.
But a lot of good moments. And then, yeah, like you said, they just start dumping. What we got here?
Well, Roman came out at 19 to really heavy boos. More than I thought, I was like, oh, he's really not that popular.
Yeah.
Was Brian eliminated before?
Reigns came out? Brian was eliminated after number 15. Brian was eliminated before. Okay, 16, It literally was a match of two halves. So yeah, 15, Rusev comes out. Brian is eliminated before 16, which was Goldust. And that second half just was shat on with Daniel Bryan, chance, and booze. Even Kofi didn't have a good spot. Kofi's really interesting spot was you get thrown onto some people, and then you kind of...
He crowd surfs. Absolutely zero athletic ability to crowd surf. It's just all you have to be is kind of light and have good people under you. And, yeah, I mean, I thought it was relatively clever to use them, but it wasn't. It wasn't nearly as cool as his spots of the past couple of years. Not even nearly. Because it wasn't impressive. And we want him to be impressive.
Yeah.
Like, if they would have done that, it would have been better if they did that with Adam Rose or something. You know? Like, make more sense. Like, have him
instead, Adam Rose is dumped out immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your party is done. His party was more useful than him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And then Kofi has new music, and I hate it. I don't know what it is. It's the New Day. No, Nude Day. Yes,
it's the Nude Day music, yeah.
As we've established.
I did say, at the, what was it? I guess it was at Raw. Maybe it was at the house show. I forget. I forget. When the Nude Day came out, and I think it was Xavier Woods on the mic, and he was saying, people ask why we're always happy, because if we're not, then the smile goes away and the darkness creeps in. And I was like, hold on, the darkness creeps in. That's what I want to see out of the Nude Day. I want to see them go bad. I want them to just get really frustrated and just become total assholes.
Yep. That was on Raw.
That was on Raw? Okay, that's what I want to see. So, the rest of it, we all know what happens. Reigns won. We talked about it a little bit.
When Big Show came out, JBL had my favorite line of the night, which is, the mood just changed. And I was like, well, it changed when Roman came out, to be perfectly honest.
When Brian was eliminated, you're exactly right. It's a tale of two halves. As soon as Brian got eliminated, like Larson said, that sucked all the energy out of the crowd.
Because he didn't even have a story. And he was out pretty much instantly. Like, you'd at least keep him to the end.
Yeah. He should have been he should have been Final Four. He absolutely should have been Final Four.
They could have orchestrated it so Reigns still looks... Here's what I was thinking, I got today, is during the whole course of the Rumble match, they really did not play up the whole authority versus everybody else angle. If they really want to do that, they would have had like Ziggler and Ryback out early, have them 1-2 maybe, have them beat the shit out of each other for a while, and then during the course of the match really set up, okay, these are the authority's goons out there to do their bidding versus everybody else.
Yeah.
And they didn't play that up at all. If they could have had it where the final six would have been like four authority guys and, for example, like Brian and Reigns, something like that, and during the course of all that, maybe Reigns is unable to keep Brian in the match despite his best efforts, maybe that would have given him a little rub, and then he can ultimately win. If the end of that match wasn't booked just for the sole purpose of making Reigns look kind of strong. Yeah.
It wasn't. The end of that match was the end of the first Matrix film, where they're all getting killed off one by one. And then it's like, well, if he's the chosen one, he's not going to die. And then he gets saved. That's exactly what that was. They just remade the ending of the Matrix. Because you're just there, you just got Ziggler, and you're like, not like this.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. Like, because if you think about it, Ziggler still could come out at 30. And that could have gotten a huge pop because you have Brian in there, Reigns, debilitated or something or whatever, and then Kane and Big Show, maybe another authority guy, cleaning house, and you still have the underdog. You've got Reigns down, and you've got three authority guys up against Brian, and then who comes in to kind of save the day to an extent? Dolph Ziggler, and then you have these three guys, those three guys, they go at it, Reigns ends up the winner, and you still have a happy crowd, like you still have tension, you still have drama, you're like, oh my god, you got three guys versus three guys, two of these guys, Ziggler and Brian, are hugely over, so you can use them to propel Reigns to victory, and instead it was a bunch of, like, what fucking possible reason would you have for eliminating Brian 15th?
Yeah. Well, other than just to get him out of the way early, so hopefully the people forget that he was even in the match by the time Reigns went. That's
like, but then, I know, but the problem with that logic is, if that's what they're going for, you're still using The Rock to help out Reigns. Like, logic is, you get this guy out of the way, so they're going to, you know, so they're going to start cheering for Reigns. Well, you're still not cheering for Reigns because you're cheering for The Rock. Like, they're just using...
Yeah. Everyone's thrown out. It finished. It ended. Yeah. And then Rusev's back. No, he's not. And that was it.
And like I told Larson, when Kane and Big Show were doing their cleaning house, they literally look like furniture movers.
Yeah.
They look like they were moving furniture. Yeah. And that is the least exciting thing besides drawing paint.
Well, also, if you know that they have...
Mode. They should just been in full-on evil mode. Yeah. Eyes going, Evil mustache-twirling villains is what was necessary there.
They should have been destroying people, not gently, you know, moving them.
Easing them over the top rope.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, then also, everybody knew there was no chance that either the Big Show or Cade were going to win that match. Mm-hmm. Zero.
Yeah.
No chance. That's what I mean. Yeah, if there was any chance that someone other than Reigns could have won in the end, I don't think people have been quite as upset. They still have been upset, but if there was some drama involved at the end, then maybe. Yeah.
Could you imagine if it was Big Show and Kane, and then like the third authority guy to come out? Could you imagine if it was Triple H in his gear?
Yeah,
that'd have been fucking great because everybody knows. Holy crap! This is kind of that's kind of a wrench in things. That makes things interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
But there was nothing interesting about the second half of
that. Then what would Titus O'Neil be doing? Ugh.
Titus O'Neil at number 26!
26 was Triple H, and he was orchestrating everything. And then Ambrose takes out Triple H and himself at the same time.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Yeah! Yes!
Leaving Reigns as the winner.
Yeah. Boom.
Just made something better with the people they pretty much had in there.
But, so I mean, many had, different combinations.
Big Show, Kane, Reigns, and Ambrose with the final four. Only Ambrose was being cheered at that point. The others were getting really quite heavy boos. You think you should know which one wins that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That should be, you should go, oh, that should be the person we put in the finale.
Yeah.
Unless they are just going to put him in WrestleMania and Brock Lesnar is with him for 4 seconds before he's just a blood smear on the carpet. Unless it's just dancing on him.
So here's a quiz for you two. Now we're going to get into our book of the match.
Ooh, lovely.
Yeah. How many people from this Rumble were involved in the 97 Rumble?
Oh, man.
God, I didn't
We had
down.
Kane as fake Diesel.
Dan, did you recognize...
Kane was fake Diesel?
That was where I was going with that.
I was
Kane
so
was
confused.
Fake Diesel.
Because I've been watching the Monday Night Raw thing. Monday Night War. And it just, I was there going, I thought this guy was supposed to be WCW now. I don't know what's going on. But I was like, oh, I must have got that wrong. I in the timeline, I placed that. Oh, okay. So, right. Because they didn't call him like, it was just Diesel. And it was like, he looks kind of different. That was Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Kane.
But, well, the
that
Razor was in it. Who was the other, who was fake Razor then?
Nobody, I always forget him.
I always forget his name.
He
too.
Was no,
he never really
ended up
anything.
Being, yeah, he yeah. never, he was never anybody.
Okay.
He was just terrible. His name was awful. So it was Gold Dust and Diesel.
And Kane?
Kane. Fake Diesel. Just those two. I'm trying. And then, I mean, The Rock. Rock was obviously in 97 when he came out. But those two were in the Rumble. I'm trying to think anybody else. I mean, DDP was over in WCW at the time. So, crazy, huh? Like Gold Dust and Kane.
For that sort of it.
Let's talk about the 97 Royal Rumble. I have to apologize for suggesting this one because it was crappy, and I thought for some reason that it was better than it was, but it obviously wasn't.
No, it wasn't good.
We got to see Ahmed Johnson's ass cheeks.
That's one thing, we both, Steve and I know this from both Rumble 97, 98.
He was the grandfather of the nude day.
Yeah. His butt cheeks were making a constant appearance.
Yeah.
I wrote a lot of things. I actually have one of my notes is 97. It's the year of the perpetual wedgie.
Yeah.
For many people.
Yeah, so many wedgies. Dan, let's hear some of your notes.
So the first match was Posh Triple H versus Goldust. This was back in when
Posh Triple H.
Yeah, it was Posh Triple H, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
who would have thought that guy would go on to run the company?
No one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, you know, Foster plays like, it's time to play badminton. You know, that's what I see him doing. But yeah,
and he had a weird kind of accent, and his voice was all, it was all soft back then. So weird.
He's just trying to do it felt kind of weird. It's like a Halloween episode of wrestling that I know.
Yeah.
Because he's just doing exactly. Else. It's exactly. Old costume Triple H. Yes, it's so this was odd because most of my notes are just about Goldust's ass being on very prominent display through most of it. Because
fat Goldust, because he's like at least 30-40 pounds heavier than he is now.
He's in the best shape of his life.
He
right
really
now.
Is. Yeah,
we do need to talk about 1997's disregard of the disqualification rule, which is something that I always bring up during these because it's just so like Goldust got some stairs and just like dropped them on Triple H.
Yeah,
and
it was really cute.
And they're like, well, technically that was just gravity, but.
I saw that spot. Stairs always make me hurt. Like, whenever somebody uses the stairs, it makes me hurt. Because, like, he drops them on Triple H, and I specifically looked at Triple H's back, and I'm like, it's not red, so stairs are probably pretty light.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not 150 pounds or whatever they say they are.
You think health and safety at this point would go, we should put some padding on the stairs.
I know, exactly. I'll make them rubber. They can still a really strong rubber.
They just bounce into the crowd.
Right? Make them out of latex.
Let's just go with trampolines at this point for Sin Cara. And then after Triple H versus Goldust, this was during Goldust. And did you like how they ran the promo with Lawler, who was apparently a
heel,
raging
then.
Homophobe back then?
Yes,
which wasn't even a heel. That was like a face back then.
That I made a note of that. I made many notes. Yeah, that was interesting.
Do you think they bleeped the promo back then when he said the Q word?
I doubt it.
I doubt it as well. Yeah, continue.
the promo cutting was weird because they sort of cut it in between the entrances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was sort of. I mean, the Nation of Domination one looked like a workout VHS commercial. Even at the end, I was expecting a number to come up. Just call this number to get... Like, everything about that just screamed, ooh, adverts from the 1990s. I got nostalgic watching this, and I've never seen it before. It was great. It had that thing. Yes, then there was a guy who, to be perfect... Because the names didn't come up when people came in the ring. They didn't do it in the Rumble either. So trying to spell... Was it Farouk?
Farouk.
Yeah, fuck trying to spell that. I have no clue. So I just wrote as many vowels and things as I could put in. It was the match two was Farouk versus Ahmed Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, again, what the hell is wrong with the DQ rule? Whipping someone with a belt, I assume, probably not a wrestling move.
No, not a legit wrestling move. Hogan
not a sanctioned one,
time,
no.
Though.
This is also the match when I realized that the Royal Rumble, the 1997 Royal Rumble logo, is identical to the Toy Story logo.
Oh my god, you're right. That's hilarious.
You're right.
Yeah.
They are identical.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I always forget about mid-90s WWE graphics is it looks like they were rendered on an N64.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it totally does.
Yeah, it's true. I actually made a note of all the different things that happened. Because was this the one that ended on a DQ, or was it the one afterwards? Because one of them ended on a DQ.
I think that one did.
Yeah, because it's just, there's no rhyme or reason for what the DQ is. It really bugs me because like they're doing chair shots, and it's like, why is there no DQ? Is DQ having a day off? Is it looking in the other direction? It's like it's what the ref can see, but the ref have the vision of fucking Metal Gear Solid guards. They can only see like 8 feet in front of themselves, and that's it. They got just like a cone of vision, and that sort of it. They had a great line from Vince in that Farouk match, which was, take a look on that man's face from a moment ago, but not on a replay or anything. Just, how, Vince? Shall I rewind?
He was already knowing that people were watching this on the WWE Network back then.
How fucking like, creepy would it be if you just like, and if you're watching this on the network, you'd be like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he has a plan, and he'll eventually...
And if you're watching this 20 years from now...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this was the one. Yeah, the DQ was when a man came in. There's been hit with whips and beaten with chairs and threw onto stairs and everything. And then a man comes in the room and like, oh, that's it, I'm ending this match. This is a line too far.
You've gone too far. Who were those white rappers with the Nation back then?
They look familiar.
They did look familiar. Like, I wanted to say it was like, you know, who sang Back to the Hood? In Too Deep. I want to say it was like either In Too Deep or like the House of Pain or something like that. Like, I don't know who that was, but they looked familiar.
Yeah, they did look really familiar.
They were very, they very did the Nation thing back, like the, you know, the Farrakhan thing back then.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought, I don't know, it was kind of cool. Like, that was the first kind of seeping into controversial things back then, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. when you bust out a dude who looks like Farrakhan, you know, you're starting to get into some territory that wrestling hadn't gone in before. So that was kind of cool. And then, yeah, you had Ahmed Johnson with just all ass cheek. Like, he had the, you know, I like these days, like, wrestlers' trunks for the most part. You know, I think they wear, like, something underneath, and then you got the trunks. And they seem very taut. They almost seem like they're plastic. You know, they're very taut. Ahmed wore the thinnest thread count undies for an ass cheek that just seemed to want to eat everything.
That and ass so, cheek, that wrap around that ass cheek was the fence they try to keep dinosaurs in with Jurassic Park. Not going to last.
Exactly, not going to last. Like, his asshole was a black hole for cloth. Nothing could escape it. And it was.
So I just looked up who
the gravity well asshole.
Hungry bum syndrome, isn't it? Yeah,
I just looked up who the rappers were.
Okay.
And apparently they were some indie wrestlers. They went by the name PG-13.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's PG-13. I think they wrestled. I want to say that sounds familiar. Like, I think they might have wrestled on a card or two for the WWE back then. I want to say that. I forget. I don't know. It sounds familiar though. Okay, that makes sense.
So they were in WCW for a spell.
WCW. Okay, that's going to be it then. Maybe I was watching like a 95 WCW pay-per-view for God knows what reason when they came on. That's always the fun part though, is watching those old pay-per-views. Like, who the fuck are these guys? Let me see.
Yeah.
Because that's the game that you play when you watch any pay-per-view from like 94, 95, 96 is who's still alive. We're going to find out who's still alive. And very often they're not. After that, we had Vader beat The Undertaker.
Yes, Fat Kane versus Undertaker. No, I like the guy.
Fat Kane, yes.
He looks like, you know when like a kid does create a wrestler and they just merge two wrestlers together? Some kid got Mankind and Kane and just put the fat slider up. Done. It's Vader. I will say that when the gong happened, I wasn't expecting it. It made me jump. And I thought that was a cute little moment. Just gong, and I was like, oh, fuck.
They had really sucked you in. You're like, oh, yeah, God, I was so into this that I didn't see that.
I enjoyed that Vader's singlet said Vader time. Like, I don't even know what that means. Vader time, okay?
It means it's time for Vader.
Yeah, this is one of those moments where I love getting Dan's reaction because we've always taken Vader for granted. Like, it's just, oh, this is Vader. Like, we know Vader. Yeah. I stopped questioning, number one, why did he name himself after Darth Vader?
Yeah.
And number two, like, just Vader is... And Vader was one of those guys who would jump from like... He was the guy who would jump.
He was a huge heel in WCW.
Yeah, but he
huge.
Would go to and fro seemingly a lot. Like, especially.
It wasn't quite up to Sid level because Sid would go back and forth all
no,
the time.
No, Sid was the man when it came to jumping. But Vader seems like he jumped more than he did. Maybe it's because I'm all over the map when it comes to when I'm
watching. I think he was just in WCW through the 90s and then jumped to WWF in the mid-90s.
But then
it didn't go back. I don't think so.
You don't think he went back?
No, I don't remember him going back.
Yeah, maybe.
If he did, it was just for a little bit, but that was the only switch.
Maybe you're right. But Vader never had like a definitive Vader. I mean, I guess it was a WCW. He had that big, giant, weird monster helmet that he wore in WCW.
Yeah, in WCW,
that was
overdone. When he was Big Van Vader.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess he had this feud with The Undertaker. I don't know. And then, because I think he was involved in the main event, like, in the next year, or the next pay-per-view, I think.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, I think he was in a program with HBK.
Yeah, but no, you're right. You're totally right. He totally looks like a mishmash of Mankind and Kane. But
yeah,
now
we were both in it at the same time, which is what I found was weird. Like, if he was trying to be a knockoff, I could understand it, but
yeah.
It's, like, just the same as them.
No, Vader had been around for a while, though.
Yeah, he's always had the face mask and all that.
He was sort of
stuff.
Yeah. If anything, Mankind would have been taking it from him. But Vader is still alive. He looks great. I think he tweeted out like a picture of him at like the gym. I want to say a month ago.
He looks the exact same.
He looks he's one of those guys who hasn't aged either. He looked 60 back then, and he looks maybe 55 now. Like, he looks really good now. So good
Captain
for you,
Picard
Vader.
Syndrome, that is.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
You've eternally been a 60-year-old man, but that's great.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was a weird match because they jumped halfway through it to interview a girl who was there because she did some babysitting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, and it was super weird and awkward. Like,
yeah, it was like a Roman Reigns promo. That's all.
Yeah. It was. It's weird. Yeah, like Roman Reigns saved up his babysitting money to come to the Royal Rumble last night. Because she was, yeah, because you would think that they would vet the fans to get somebody who's more enthusiastic.
Yeah, she's
It's as if she bought her ticket against her will. Like, I saved up my babysitting money and I had to buy this ticket and come here today, and it's weird.
No, because she was like, I want to see Shawn Michaels. I love Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is my god.
I'm going to make him have my baby.
Wait, he likes
what?
It or
that
not.
That didn't make any sense.
Very much. It was a very... And then I will babysit the baby. But no, it was a very... It was very strange. It was a very strange thing. Like, that whole audience, like, were dead silent until HBK. It was an audience of people's mums, it seemed.
I was trying to figure out why the... Because it was... Where was it? That was at the...
It was in San Antonio.
It was San Antonio. Okay. Alamo Dome. Okay, the Alamo Dome.
Yeah.
And it was... Did you notice, like, when they went wide, you saw there was, like, the bowl, but then there was, like, several sections on the ground. And... Like it seemed like the layout of the venue maybe just wasn't conducive. And I know that the crowd was dead anyways, because you look at the crowd and they're dead. But also, even if it was a hot crowd, I'm not sure the venue was conducive to a hot crowd.
That could be.
Because you see, when, like, for example, like you mentioned, when Stone Cold came out, he was the obvious one to look at. Like, okay, Stone Cold obviously wasn't getting much heat. Like, he was picking up steam. He was establishing himself, but it wasn't until that subsequent WrestleMania that he was hot.
Yeah.
So he was establishing himself. He came out, and it was just like, it felt like a security guard who just happened to have a job near the ring was coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he came out and nobody did anything, but it almost was as if nobody even knew that somebody was coming out. It was
the countdown wasn't working for a large part of the match at the start. Yeah, no one had any music or anything.
Nobody had music.
Just turning up. It was like, oh, okay.
He would just sort of walk to the people. Just walk to the ring, and it was as if people didn't. I don't think they realized that somebody was headed to the ring. And it might be because of where everybody was sitting in relation to where they would walk out from. Like, were they in view of the damn thing? It looked like they were coming
It was like a little inbuilt, in the sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like people would be coming from the concourse from getting their nachos, and right next to them is Stone Cold headed to the ring. Like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I just got my nachos. I'm about to eliminate some people.
You had to push through the queue of people queuing for nachos. Excuse me.
Hold on, I'm about to eliminate myself a hot dog before I eliminate a couple of wrestlers.
Can you give me a hell yeah?
Hell yeah. And some nacho. I want more nacho cheese and jalapenos on this, you son of a bitch. I'm getting ahead of myself.
That was on a take of Vader. Yeah. Then there was a thing with some luchadors that was massively sloppy and weird.
This is what I told, because Larson was texting me while he was watching, and he said, yeah, they got out some luchadors, and like the crowd is just completely dead. Like, nobody cares. And then when I watched, I was like, you know, I know technically, yes, they are luchadors, because it's like saying, you know, anime. It's just it's a comic book, you know. It's like, I know there are certain conventions, but that's literally what it's called when it's from that country. A Mexican wrestler, their name is a lucha. That's what they're a luchador. These felt more like old fat guys who happen to be wrestlers from Mexico.
Yes.
So, like, when I think of luchador, I think of the mask, I think of the speed, I think of the high spots, the high flyers. These guys look like all used car salesmen who got drunk and decided to get into the ring. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure anybody realized it.
I thought it was funny that Vince called all of them by one of two names.
Yeah, it was Connect, because like most of the people in that ring.
It was Connect and Heavy Metal.
Yeah. And that was everyone in that ring was just Connect. It was like, that's funny.
Everybody's Connect except for Heavy Metal. Who is Heavy Metal?
But at one point, someone was calling everybody Heavy Metal towards the end. I was like, no, isn't Heavy Metal the guy that looks like Juventud Guerrero without his mask?
Yeah, I'm because Fuerza Guerrera is kind of that's a bit of a mouthful. That's a marble mouth right there. Fuerza Guerrera, Hector Garza, Pero Aguayo.
That was the older guy.
And Jerry Estrada, who I think is part of the Grateful Dead, right?
Oh, dear. That's a terrible joke.
Sorry, that was great.
Terrible joke.
I'm sorry, I think it's funny. sorry.
He's made himself laugh.
That was so stupid.
He made himself laugh
so
hard.
I'm sorry, that was so stupid. I do that so easily, though. Anyways, that was a horrible match. But then, you know, we watched the 98 one, and if you there's sort of a mirror image of that in the 98 one, and it was the midget luchador match.
Yeah.
And Sonny, but that's kind of how you do that. You don't get a bunch of fat old guys. You get some little people in luchador masks doing crazy shit, and you have hot-ass Sonny doing the reffing. That's how you're supposed to do it. And in 97, they did the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So anyways, and then the Royal Rumble, and then is the main event. So yeah, you got the Rumble. Dan, what notes do you have for the Rumble?
Well, I was immediately confused because it started with Crash, I believe, because nobody had names, because at this point there was no countdown on music or anything.
Yeah.
So I had to guess some of these names. Right?
It was so podunk, yeah.
Yeah, but like Razor came in, and that just threw me for such a long time, because I was like, 97? I thought, hang on, I've watched 20 episodes of this fucking show. I think I know everything about
your timeline, yeah.
Yeah. I know that Hulk Hogan betrayed WCW. I heard that many times.
Didn't they talk? Well, hold on a second, though, Dan. Didn't they talk about? They talked about fake Diesel and fake Razor.
They mentioned it once in a little thing, and when I looked it up, it was mentioned. I was like, oh, okay, it was mentioned once because most of that show was repeated. There was like 10 episodes of that show split over 20.
Oh, I know. You're completely right. Like there was so much overlap.
The final three were great, though. The final three were absolutely amazing.
Who was the final three?
The final three of the Monday Night Wars.
Oh, Monday Night Wars.
Oh, yeah.
They were
great
episodes. That was a great series. I'm looking forward to that, the 24, WWE 24, which is the WrestleMania thing, which is on tonight.
Yeah, that could be cool. That could totally be cool. I think they're understanding that people really, really, really dig the behind the scenes stuff. Because honestly, I think we can all agree that's more interesting than the actual wrestling. Like, the backstage politics, the jumping, the contracts, all that kind of shit. All that stuff is so fascinating for something that's so ridiculous.
Yep.
Because that's the thing that me and Larson always point out is this wrestler thinks it's real. That's why he's weird. Like, there are so many wrestlers who take it so seriously. And it's like, it's all like, I hate using the word fake because that's the easy term to throw at it. Yeah, we all know it's fake, but predetermined, scripted, written. Like, you wouldn't call a movie fake. You're not going to watch a movie and be like, that's fake. He totally didn't do that. You're ridiculous for liking this. That's
toys can't come to life. That's fake.
Right. That's my problem with people who like blast wrestling for being fake. It's like wrestling's problem, wrestling's issue has been they tried to act like it wasn't fake for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people talk shit about it being fake. If they had just from day one, from the circus days, if they were just out and out been like, look, this is just another form of a play. This is another form of, you know, whatever the equivalent. This is a live-action comic book. That's what we're doing. And that's what they've been embracing since the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a bit more like, okay, well, yeah, we know it's fake. Everybody knows it's fake. Don't be, you know, that's not a good criticism.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know where I was getting with that. But yeah, the Razor Ramon, I like that he threw you off for a good half an hour.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It threw me off until like Stone Cold came out. And Stone Cold was like, silence. Mm-hmm.
What? Well, it is so bizarre. That so watch it now, watching absolutely nobody care about Austin.
Yeah. It was scary. I thought, oh my god, what have they done to the crowd? Like I assumed it would pan over the crowd and there would have been some sort of massacre that I didn't notice. When I was reeling from Razor. It was just everyone's just in a pool of blood just lying dead. He's stepping through intestines and shit. But apparently no one gives a shit.
Nobody gave a shit.
They didn't really care about anyone, to be perfectly honest. It didn't seem like the best.
Yeah, nobody.
There was three pops the whole night. It was Bret Hart, Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels.
I'm looking at this roster of people who came out, and I can see why. I mean, after Austin, it was Bart Gunn, you know?
Yeah.
Jake Roberts, who looked fucking horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like... I mean, it was obvious Jake was nearing his end at that point.
Just pointing out that the snake didn't actually go over the top rope and should have technically won. Just saying. I can keep saying that because it's true.
Damien is your Royal Rumble winner. Yeah, yes.
Exactly. Bulldog looked great in all his steroid glory.
Yeah.
Who is Pierre Roth?
Oh, not Pierre Wrath. I put it like Pierre is in something at the end of a beach. Wrath.
Oh, was he one of the luchador guys that came out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his real name, I just looked him up. Norberto Salgado Salcedo is a retired Mexican luchador. Anyways, after that was Rikishi, a.k.a. the Sultan.
The Sultan.
Oh, yeah. That was Rikishi.
That was Rikishi. Yep. He was, and he came out with the Iron Sheik.
Mm-hmm.
Break your back, make you humble. Mil Mascaris. I thought his name was Mil Mascaris, but apparently, according to Vince, it's Mil Mascaris because that's how he pronounced his name. Triple H. Posh Triple H.
Hunter how could it be, though, if it was just regular Triple H? He just comes up, it's time to play a game. It's like, who's this guy? Yeah, exactly. We don't know.
He knew the future. Owen Hart came out pre-death.
Yes.
Well, probably. Obviously. Probably. I think it would have been bad taste post-death.
Probably would have been.
Just being puppeted at the top. That's not something you should ever
do. Like a Weekend at Bernie situation.
Yeah. That would be an angle. Just a wrestling
probably, death. I would say, one of the top contenders for changed the most, like had the most shit happen to him from one year to the next. Because by the next year, the entire Hart Foundation had moved over to WCW except for him.
Owen Hart, yep.
Because the Montreal Screwjob went down later that year.
Yep.
And they started calling him the Black Heart, the lone survivor, because of that. And he was all mad and stuff.
Well, then he was in the Nation of Domination.
And he was oddly the Nation of Domination because he's like super white. then Goldust came out wearing a different outfit. He wore like a silver outfit with like a black lingerie thing with another wedgie.
Yeah. Feels like he's wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Cybernetico came out.
Cybernetcode. Yes.
Let's see here. Who else?
Then Mascaris jumped out, which I quite liked. He just jumped out.
Oh, yeah. He eliminated himself.
Yeah.
He just leapt out. That was actually mentioned in the 2015 Rumble. Mm-hmm. That was vaguely
mentioned.
Yeah.
It was.
I was like, ooh, connection.
They knew that we were doing that. They knew this was our book of the match.
Yep.
And then the first guaranteed contract, the first big coup that Vince got over WCW was Mark fucking Marrow.
Yep.
Which apparently pissed off so many other wrestlers at WWF. They're like, you're so desperate to have your own Lex Luger Nitro moment that you signed Mark Marrow to a guaranteed contract. Who, I guess, paid off because he brought Sable with him.
Yeah.
So, I guess that was a wise investment. Then somebody named the Latin Lover. I thought there was something about the Latin Lover when he came out.
Oh, I thought it was Matt Lover. All right.
Matt Lover. It's so great when you don't have the names in front of you. When they don't give you the names and you have to figure out what the hell they just said. Matt sounds Lover.
Like that's a 90s euphemism. That just sounds like, oh, he's a bit of a Matt Lover. You know what I mean?
I was like, because when he came out and they said, oh, it's the Latin Lover. I was like, okay, it's the Latin Lover. What's his name? Like, I thought the Latin Lover would just be
that's a nickname for a longer name. Yeah,
exactly. But no, then they just kept on referring to him as a Latin Lover.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Oh, my God. He's 47. He looks like Rico Suave. I'm looking at his Wikipedia right now.
Oh, wow.
He does not look good. Farouk then came out. The first African-American world heavyweight champion.
Yep.
The first in WCW.
When he was in WCW, yep.
Savio Vega. This always confused me because he was the leader of the Los Boricuas. I can't say it good.
I think it's Los Boricuas.
I know what the word is. I can't say it. It's a very difficult word for me to pronounce.
Yeah.
Tongue gymnastics I cannot do.
And he was that was like when they signed in the Monday Night Wars, when we were talking about the NWO and stuff, they were talking about how they realized that factions were a good way to showcase if you have a large roster, you know, your mid-carders, your under-carders, all those guys, you put them in a faction and they all get more screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Los Boricuas was the only faction that I was aware of that I didn't know anybody except for Savio Vega, and I barely knew Savio Vega. Everybody else just looked like they were probably just family or something, which might be what Boricuas means. I didn't, from wherever they are, I don't know. So anyway, Savio Vega, who's I think Austin's first big feud, if I recall correctly.
That sounds right, yeah.
I think it was Savio Vega, Austin. And then Jesse James, before he was the Road Dog.
Yep.
Yes.
And he was the roadie under Jeff Jarrett, and then apparently, I'm guessing, when Jarrett left for WCW, he just said, here, you can have my gimmick, because he was doing everything Jeff Jarrett does. That's
just better.
That stupid Ric Flair ripoff walk that he that Jeff Jarrett did with his stupid two finger. I hate everything Jeff Jarrett. God, I hate Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, he's not very good.
He sucked. Terrible. And then Bret Hart came out. That was the cool moment when Austin just tossed everybody out, and then Bret Hart came out.
Puts his hands over his face.
Virtually the only time you've ever seen Austin scared
ever
was this moment when Bret Hart came out.
Yep.
Which was great.
Also, what was great was Jerry's line before Bret came out, which is because people were sort of like indifferent to Stone Cold. Mm-hmm. And Jerry went, they certainly don't appreciate Stone Cold's attitude. I'm like, you're about to build your company on that sentence. That is going to define everything. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. And then, go ahead.
Then they did that same joke that they have done in every single Royal Rumble since the dawn of time, which is, here's a commentator. Oh, they're gone.
Lawler went in.
King entered and then left.
Homophobic Lawler went in with his weird, sad. At that point, his titties were all weird. Because they were like, he was just coming out of his, I mean, he was still kind of semi-active. Like, I mean, he's a commentator, but they had him in feuds and stuff. And he was wrestling on like a semi-part-time basis. Or part-time basis, it was redundant. On a part-time basis. But, like, he wasn't muscular anymore. Like, he was never really muscular.
No, he was never in very good shape.
But he was never in good shape, but he wasn't yet, like, weird flabby.
Yeah, he wasn't doughy.
At this point, he was weird flabby. You know? Like, you could excuse him now because he's old. Back then, he was old-ish.
Yeah, he was probably, what, early 40s?
And I just noticed his titties look weird. So
They were not good.
I don't know. Weird titties are weird. And then, of course, Fake Diesel came out.
Yes, Kane. Confusing me. It's Kane.
And then Terry Funk, the big to-do over ECW. No, Terry Funk. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Flash Funk. Terry Funk came out, who was probably in his 80s back then.
Yeah.
He's 79 right now.
Oh, my God.
And he still wrestles.
That's crazy.
That's insane. God, Terry Funk, man. And then The Rock came out, Rocky Maivia.
Yep.
Yes.
Who everybody had to bend over backwards to refer to as a blue chipper.
Yeah.
That back then. Oh, this guy's going to do a great thing. Like, he was, holy shit, he was Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
He was a guy that was insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pushed down the fans' throats. Yep.
Yeah. And what did they learn from that? Nothing! They learned nothing from that.
They never learned anything. Have you not noticed that? That's what makes this a fun thing to watch. Because the writing staff are 90% incompetent, and they just occasionally get it right, and that's when it's great.
Hold on a second, though. I just had a revelation. What if they think that Rocky's entire career is the blueprint, including his early days as a face trying to be pushed down people's throat? What if they're going to do the Reigns heel turn when he starts calling people out? What if Reigns is actually terrific on the mic once he goes heel?
Could be.
I doubt it, because
you never know.
If there's a Scorpion King movie, they have to remake the Scorpion King with Roman Reigns in it. They're just gonna
They just keep making sequels. They just had the fourth one, Scorpion King 5, starring Roman Reigns.
There's four? Yeah. I thought it was just one.
Yeah, the newest one has a couple of UFC guys in it.
It's, I believe, what's referred to straight to Netflix these days, or VOD, straight to VOD.
Straight to Sci-Fi Channel.
It's
bizarre. They just have the word shark in the title. It can't go straight to Sci-Fi Channel.
Touche. Good point.
He'll be in the Mansquito sequel. That was my favorite Mansquito. And then that was a real thing. And then Mankind came out.
Yes.
And he wasn't quite as over as... It's amazing the difference between 97 and 98.
Oh, it's night and day practically.
And then Flash Funk, who was Too Cold Scorpio in ECW.
Yeah, he was a big thing
in
ECW.
He was a big thing in ECW. And Vince was like, oh, I'll pay you for Flash Funk, for Too Cold Scorpio. And I don't know. I think he had a couple of high-flying moves, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of cool. He was okay.
Yeah, he was cool.
And he just, you know, he had the weird, I don't know, he was packaged weird.
I heard him be called out as Flash Fuck, and I was like, what the hell is this?
That's great.
I was some sort of molester that was about to come out. I was like, oh, this could be interesting.
Flash Fuck.
Just comes out wearing a big trench coat.
Like, Dan, I'm telling you right now. I don't know if you know this. We used to have our own little gameplay series where we would be called Fuck Wrestling, Friendo Unified Champion. Okay.
Yeah.
I am going to steal what you just said. I am going to mandate that our bookers create a character name. So this goes out to Modfather and Beardman. I want a character named Flash Fuck.
He's got a long trench coat. It's just go,
exactly. I don't care what you do with him, how you make him. I want Flash Fuck in Fuck Wrestling. And then Big Van Vader came out. And then Henry what do they call them? The God? They were just Godwins.
Godwins.
Another farmer dude, as I put it.
Was Henry, I forget which one was.
No, Phineas was Midian.
Okay. And then Henry never did anything, right?
I don't think he ever really came back after.
And then at number 30 was Undertaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Austin won, and it was great.
He won, and then he didn't.
That's right.
And then they had the fatal four-way match to decide the real number one contender, but then HBK dropped the belt anyway.
That's right.
Bret Hart ended up winning it, and then Sid beat Bret for the belt, I think. So at WrestleMania, it was Undertaker, Sid for the belt.
Huge clusterfuck between, like, usually now they have it sort of mapped out, but it was such a giant clusterfuck.
Well, they had it mapped out back then because it was supposed to be HBK, Bret Hart, WrestleMania,
and
Hart was supposed to go over.
Hart was supposed to go over, and HBK didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so he hurt his knee or lost his smile, whatever you want to say.
Yeah. Wow. And then, but then there was the main event.
Psycho Dan, Sid versus Shawn Michaels
What are your thoughts on Psycho? Is this the first Psycho Sid match you've seen?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on Sid?
He looked like a nut job.
Yeah.
Like he really... I loved his pyro with the word Sid above the stage. I thought that was really cool. He put on the craziest eyes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it was pretty... It was. I heard a dog. I'm confused.
That's mine.
Telling you. He was genuinely fun to watch. Sean seemed a little slower than I'd heard. Because I haven't really seen many matches with Sean in. So he seemed a little bit slower than I thought he would be. But if he was genuinely ill, then maybe that was why.
No, I think it's just Sid.
I think when you're working a match against Sid, I think you have to
dial
slow.
It back about 20%.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
Yeah,
Sid is a favorite of ours just because he has such a weird... His career was so strange.
Yeah.
He jumped back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
And he stabbed Arn Anderson...
With scissors.
Okay.
And, well, Arn stabbed him as well.
Yeah. And
they had a knife/scissor fight,
like in a hotel. And
so
somehow
not
they
gimmick,
still
nickname.
No, legit.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were his genuinely crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he seems like a cool guy. Like, he's on Twitter. He live tweets. Hold on a second. Larson,
yeah,
Utah
he
or something.
Yeah, yeah. He live tweets Raw and the pay-per-views. And like before the pay-per-view last night, he was backstage at the arena, and he was saying, "Oh, this person's backstage. It's good seeing this guy." And he'll give kind of backstage stories about certain aspects of his career and stuff like that. It's actually really interesting.
I'm gonna have to follow him on Twitter now.
A look behind the curtain,
through the eyes of an insane person.
Yes, through the eyes of Sid.
Through the crazy killer stary eyes of it was Psycho Sid.
Well, it was funny because Steve was saying after he watched it, he texted me. He's like, "You know what? Sid would be really scary if he actually had any ability in the ring."
Yeah, that was my comment. Was he reminds me of who? I said,
you said Lesnar.
He has the intensity of Lesnar, but if he had any actual ability, he would be terrifying. But he didn't. Like, he was just not threatening at all. Because as massive and creepy as he looks, once he got in the ring, it just looked like a weird guy stumbling around. And then somehow he gets into a... And his powerbomb, if I remember, his powerbomb was just weird also. Like, it didn't...
It was the most gentle powerbomb.
Yeah.
Because, most people would put their hands on the other guy's, like, hips to drive him down. Mm-hmm. Sid would always put one hand, on their lower back and one on their tummy.
Yeah.
To kind of guide him down gently.
Like, his powerbomb is like putting a baby down.
Yeah, kind of.
Sid makes a good dad. His kid was on something, right? Bachelor or something?
Yeah, his kid was on Big Brother. He almost won, too.
Right. Fucking Sid. Sid is great. He's a great tweeter, though. He's a fantastic tweeter. I love Sid. Yeah. He, for his live tweeting Raw is always pretty special.
Yeah.
Because he's always so critical of it. And he hates it.
Oh, yeah.
And for some random reason, he hates the WWE app.
Yeah, every opportunity he gets, he blasts every opportunity.
Do we have an agreement on what are we going to do for the?
I think a pretty good book of the match next.
What do you have?
You know, the February pay-per-view has not necessarily been consistent because it's not one of the big four of them.
Right.
But I thought, hey, let's do another pay-per-view from February.
Okay, all right.
So I looked through. And this one seemed apropos on so many levels. I'll give you some of the highlights from the card.
Okay.
The main event was The Rock and Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
Another match was Triple H versus one of our favorites, Steve, Scott Steiner.
Okay.
We have Lesnar and Benoit versus Team Angle, Undertaker,
this is,
Big Show.
This is when the company had everybody under contract. It was post-WCW. But also the very beginning of the Ruthless Aggression era, so like Cena was around and Guerrero was probably around. Benoit hadn't killed people.
Yeah, Benoit, yeah.
Okay.
And then the title of the pay-per-view seems apropos, No Way Out.
Oh, okay.
All right. We're going to do No Way Out 2003.
No Way Out 2003.
I've written that down.
I like it. I like it a lot. That's good.
And so, as everybody here, what do you think? I want to bring this up because this is huge at the moment. Of the cancel your WWE Network subscription.
Yeah,
which is huge.
I saw that last night.
Yeah,
it's like number one trending worldwide for ages. I'm like, these people don't know NXT exists, do they?
I know. There's so much. I mean, this is the thing. Like, there's so much good content out there on the network. Yeah. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan. It's ridiculous fun, and then every month you either get to talk shit about a pay-per-view or you get to have fun with a pay-per-view. So if you want to cancel it, everybody has the choice to cancel it. It's not a big deal. And I hope, if nothing else, I hope maybe that makes the WWE say, hey, you know what, maybe we should listen to some people a bit better.
Maybe we're
off tune.
Oh, I think the booing did that a bit better than this.
You would think so. But who knows? They're so up their ass about Twitter that maybe a hashtag is actually more effective than actual people booing.
Than real life humans booing at the moment.
Yeah.
Vince is backstage, he has his headphones on with just a constant applause as he's everything.
Yeah. They have a laugh track pumped in.
Yeah.
Exactly. So thanks again, guys. This has been Going In Raw. I have to go. I have an appointment thing to do.
Yes.
But we smashed it all in an hour and 37 minutes.
Nice.
So, well done. So, next month it'll be No Way Out. Next month it'll be Fastlane 2015.
And No Way Out 2003.
Yes. All right.
We will see you
Thank you, everybody.
We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.